Welcome to Natalia Benson, the podcast. I'm an astrologer, women's empowerment coach, and modern mystic living in Los Angeles. My podcast is here to inspire, encourage, and remind you that everything and anything is possible. I love sharing with you the tools that have healed, transformed, and up-leveled my life, everything from astrology to magical money, life purpose tools, mindset shifts, and pragmatic mysticism. Thank you so much for being with me, and I look forward to seeing you in the show. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to another episode of Natalia Benson, the podcast. What an honor to be with you on the second day of the year. How are you feeling? Welcome to 2022. 222 for me personally is one of my absolute favorite numbers. Actually, right before I manifested Mick, my fiance, who will soon be my husband this year, which is just a trip. We're getting married in a couple months, but I would see 222 everywhere. And something that's been really fascinating for me, anytime before I'm about to call something in really major, I always see 222. So happy 2022. I'm very excited about this numerical configuration. Ironically, on 2/22/2022, it is the United States Pluto return. So I'm very fascinated to see what occurs there for us as a country. I think we're already have been seeing a lot of what needs to change. So many things have become glaringly impossible to ignore in the last couple of years. And that's important. So Pluto as an energy in Western astrology, it has a lot to do with just like death and rebirth and really not seeing death as any kind of ending, but rather witnessing death as the opportunity for metamorphosis. And Pluto, wherever we have Pluto natally in our charts, what's really cool about that is that whenever we activate our Pluto placement, what we are effectively doing in our lives is making way for our greatest empowerment and integration. Because think about anything that you've gone through in your life, anything that's maybe been on the heels of something like really, really hard and challenging. Well, who did you become in effect from that challenging or painful experience? And very often when utilized in the most empowering octave, that's actually what creates the greatest life, right? It's not because everything was like hunky-dory, super easy. It's because we walked through the fire of our own fear, uncertainty, self-doubt, or suffering, and we came out on the other side. So bring that into a grander context with Pluto conjunct to our natal Pluto, the United States natal Pluto. So look at that like little microcosmic example I just utilized, and then put that into like what we're moving through as a country. So God bless, universe bless. I actually wrote a really cool report a couple months ago, and I was talking about how it's really important for us to take care of ourselves at the individual level. I really believe that. I always talk about that because when we feel centered and anchored in self, it's really easy to be a witness to what is going on and also see how we can contribute free from our nervous systems getting activated and our limbic systems getting activated. So any hoo-ha, that just came through. I got excited about the 222. Let's talk about prosperity placement. So this is a money and astrology episode, and I'm really excited, you guys. Like, here we are at the beginning of the year, and as I told you guys last year about the pod, that I would be actually speaking to you more, that I'm actually going to be doing less interviews, more solos. Definitely are still going to have some magnificent magnificent guests for you, but I am just, everything in my natal chart is like me doing a podcast. So getting back to this space where I'm recording for you guys and getting to create these is just, I'm so excited. I'm so, so excited. And I really hope you're excited as well. So let's talk about your prosperity placement. Something that's also extremely exciting for me with all of this is really, I am going to be fashioning these episodes around money, astrology, money, and business. And if you're wondering why those are tools that I love and you missed the episode from 2021, I think it's just in December in last month about why these tools are so important to me, go back and listen to that episode, especially if you're fascinated by astrology, natal chart astrology, money, and business and entrepreneurship, then definitely go and listen to that episode because you can really hear my why in how I'm approaching the show and just what I'm really bringing forward for you guys as we move into this really powerful year. So I haven't decided how long these are going to be. Let's see what pours through and let's just rock it. I think that's the best way to do this. So jumping into your, like, let's first talk about Jupiter. Now, number one, when I'm talking about prosperity placements, like what exactly does that mean? So when I'm speaking about a prosperity placement, what I am talking about is where we can look into your natal chart and really see just based on the language of Western astrology, and I utilize the tropical system, where these planets that I've chosen to talk about in this episode, I'm calling them my prosperity places, my prosperity planets, where these stick out for you. Where are these placed in your unique soul blueprint? How do you activate your unique prosperity based on your soul blueprint, which is the natal chart? And so I've just chosen four things that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about Jupiter. We're going to talk about Venus. We're going to talk about the second house and the sixth house interchangeably, and then we're going to talk about the North Node. Now, here's what I love about astrology is that, you know, you can have, I always say astrology is an art and a science. So you can totally have like someone picks totally different prosperity placements than me. Typically, they'd probably be in this vein, but that's what I love about astrology so much is that once you get to know the system, there's also so much magic in the interpretation, in the way that you interpret the planets and the placements and how you want to integrate them based on the subject matter you're talking about. So whether it's money, whether it's business, whether it's love and relationships, whether it's health, there's things that we as astrologers will look for. But what's so fun, I see it as fun, is that we get to also see how uniquely each astrologer and each vantage point or perspective interprets which planet or which point they would utilize to analyze a given subject like money or purpose or whatever it may be. So I'm really excited to talk about this. I've said that 50 fucking times. Okay, I'm ready. You guys ready? Okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a deep breath together. Exhale, let it go. Okay, let's do it. I'm ready. So let's talk about Jupiter. So Jupiter is, in essence, a mega prosperity planet. Like wherever we see Jupiter, Jupiter represents where we are meant to expand, where we're meant to take up space, where we're meant to become wise, where we are meant to move out beyond a comfort zone and into our greatness, into our greatest expansion. And the way that Jupiter was taught to me that I've always loved is really this idea that very, very simply, when you are embodying your Jupiter placement, so both by sign and house, that is where the universe shows up for you. The first astrologer I ever learned from, Christopher Witecki, he said that Jupiter is like the extra coins that like the universe gives you at the arcade. It's this like they drop out of the machine. But what do you do in exchange for that blessings energy or that fortunate expansion? Well, you must embody the essence of wherever Jupiter's placed in your chart. So I'm just going to use my chart as an example. So my Jupiter is in Aries in the third house. So when I am showing up as an Aries, the most embodied, empowered version of the sign, and I am working through the themes of the third house, which I'll explain what those are in a second. It will make a lot of sense to you, especially if you've been with me for a little while. What's so cool is that's where life expands for me. That's where God universe shows up for me. I always know that if I'm ever feeling stuck, whether it's with my prosperity, with my finances, with my ideas, with anything, all I have to do is tap into that Aries energy and then communicate, which is the third house theme. So does that make sense? Like this is where I am obsessed with how we can utilize astrology as a really magnificent and empowering roadmap. And I'm going to give a couple of examples for each placement because you guys, the last thing I ever want you to do, so you have to promise me you won't do this. I never want you to like use your astrology against you. So I never want you to be like, oh, well, I heard so-and-so told me that my blah, blah, blah is in detriment, or, oh no, my Jupiter is in this sign. So that must mean like, no, 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 never do that. Never, ever, ever do that to yourself. This is where we utilize astrology as a tool for empowerment and not as an excuse. This is where astrology becomes empowering. This is where astrology becomes expansive because it shows the innate opportunity in every single configuration. So if you just want to pause for a second and take a deep breath into that, because maybe you've used your astrology against yourself and you need a reset, you're totally welcome to do that right now. But what's really, really important, my loves, is that we tap into our unique blueprint. There is no sign or house that doesn't have limitless potential inside of it. It just has unique potential. Okie dokie doodles. Okay, I think we're good. I honestly get upset. When I hear people, because you guys, I've been DMing with y'all and talking to people for years and years and years about this stuff. I've given thousands of readings at this point. And so many times I've heard people utilize their astrology as a way to cut themselves down, to hurt themselves, and to make excuses about their potential. And I just don't want you to do that because that's not what it's for, especially when we utilize it in the lens of empowerment. So let's look at another example of a Jupiter placement. So let's say Jupiter in Gemini in the 10th house. So Jupiter is that expansive blessings energy. So to activate that prosperous energy of Jupiter, I've just got to show up in the most empowering expressions of Gemini, which is all around the communicator, in the sign of the 10th house, which is being seen, which is doing my career. It may even be me communicating and expressing and connecting and socializing through the energy of my career and my work and my legacy and the way I invest in myself and invest my time. Let's use another example. So let's say you have Jupiter in Scorpio in the 4th house. So to activate that Jupiter energy, Scorpio is a very mystical, discerning, intense, powerful sign, and it goes deep. There's emotional depth to the sign of Scorpio. So to activate your prosperity, to activate your blessings and your expansion energy, tap into the empowering expression of Scorpio in the theme of the 4th house, which is all around the home. I just like slurred my words. That was really cute. In the theme, so 4th house is in the theme of the home, in the theme of nurturance, in the theme of the mother. So to activate your prosperous energy, it could be stepping into your deepest discernment taking care of yourself, nourishing yourself, anchoring in at home, not feeling like you have to be an extrovert. You could have another aspect that maybe pulls at you and is like, well, you've got to be out, or you get in your head and you're like, well, you have to do this to make money, or you have to do that to be in your prosperity. But really, your prosperity and your magnetism is in the water. It's in the depth of who you are. It's in not doing things like everyone on the outside says. Okay. So hopefully these are some good examples for you, and I'll give my chart as an example. So Aries, in Jupiter in Aries in the third house. So Jupiter, my expansion and blessings activate as I am an individual, as I do things in the theme and the octave of communication and self-empowerment and self-awareness, because Aries is all about the self and being very individual. So for me, when I am in the highest octave of Aries and I am being self-referential, I'm not looking to everyone else for approval, I'm not looking outwards, and I'm really in my individual empowerment and my self-awareness through my individual empowerment, and then I'm communicating that, well, holy moly, that's this podcast, right? I always know that for me to expand and to feel expansive and like I'm in my purpose and my servant, because Jupiter is also your purpose. So how beautiful that like our purpose and our prosperity is wrapped up in the same energy when it comes to Jupiter. So I feel like I'm in my expansion and my purpose when I do this podcast, when I'm getting to share my voice, because the themes of the third house are all around connection, connectivity, self-expression, communication, texting, social media, calling. And I don't know if you, I'm sure you, maybe some of y'all know this, but like I have a text service through my business. I'm very active on Instagram. I have this podcast. We have emails. I love to talk on the phone. Like I do client calls. It's just like all the things, right? And for me, that feels very expansive. That might not be the expansive blueprint for you. And that's where you get to look at where Jupiter is placed both by zodiac sign and house, and then research the house and the sign, and then you'll start to put together just as I have here. Because what I'm doing here for you is called synthesis. So I'm synthesizing between like the theme, which we're talking about. We're talking about money. We're talking about prosperity. So I'm synthesizing the Jupiter, the planet of Jupiter. I'm synthesizing it between the zodiac sign and the house. And then I'm putting together like I'm putting together like a synthesis for you. I don't know what else to call it. Like I basically analyze the placement. And then when you analyze the placement, or what's known as astrology as a synthesis, then that's when you can get the information and really come to understand how this planet, how this energy shows up in your life, and how you can best embody it. Go ahead and take a deep breath in, deep breath out. Just pause for a moment, my angel. I have a question for you. How are you currently feeling about your finances? How do you feel about the money in your bank account, the success of your business? How do you really feel about money at this very, very moment? I just created something really, really beautiful for you. It is a money visualization meditation. One of the most powerful tools that we have in our tool belt is the power of our mind and the power of what we focus on. And this very beautiful, soothing meditation is really about you just really bringing your nervous system down to a place of just comfort and ease, and really allowing your mind and your mental pictures to create your life and to create where you truly desire to go with your money. So if you would like that free meditation, just go ahead to the link in the show notes and download it. It is absolutely free. It is my gift to you. You'll just add your email and you will automatically be sent this money visualization meditation. It is extremely special. And especially if you've been feeling maybe a little stressed with money or stressed in your business, it's really important that you take time to take really good care of your body, your being, your unconscious mind, and just really focus on where you truly seek to go. Enjoy that meditation. Love you so much. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Cool. Let's talk about Venus. So Venus is literally known. I'm going to take a sip of kombucha. I love drinking kombucha and doing podcasts. It's really fun. So I don't really drink coffee. I don't know if you guys know that. So kombucha is like my little coffee. Let's talk about Venus. So with Venus, so Venus actually represents money, represents what we value, represents creativity. It also represents our receptivity. It represents the feminine aspect of energy, not just women, but feminine polarity. And when it comes to Venus and activating our prosperity placements, we can literally look to our Venus placement and see our unique blueprint, our unique octave for making money. Isn't that cool? So with Venus, we can take a look at our unique placement and from there, see how to activate our magnetism when it comes to money, when it comes to what we value, when it comes to magnetizing our unique process and purpose when it comes to our finances. So my Venus is in Pisces in the second house. So Pisces is all about spirituality, empathy, sensitivity, and the deeper sides of life and the emotions. The second house is money, ironically. So the second house is about money, security, and how powerful, like my membership, MWMM, Magical Women and Money, it is literally about like spiritualizing money and connecting to money in a more empathetic, sensitive, mystical way. So that is 1,000,000%. And then Venus can also represent women and how powerful that I have this spiritual money membership centered around women. That's literally my Venus placement. Super, super wild. So let's take a look at this for you. Let's say that you have Venus in Leo in the seventh house. So Venus is the octave in the energy of what you value and how you can monetize. Leo is around just like unabashed self-acceptance, like roaring your energy, your passion, like just being unabashedly yourself. And then the seventh house is about one-to-ones, partnerships, marriages, business partnerships. So in terms of magnetizing your money, you being authentically, totally you, burning bright, shining your light in the area of one-to-one dynamics. So this could be whether it's a partnership, this could be whether it's a marriage, this could be a business partnership, this could be with your clients, whatever. So that can be a powerful way for you to activate that Venus, is to step into that Leo energy and work through the themes of the seventh house. Let's utilize another example. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's talk about Venus in Aquarius in the 12th house as a unique combination. So Venus in Aquarius. So Aquarius is all about the whole. It's all about humanity. It's all about doing things in their own motherfucking way. Like Aquarians don't want to be told what to do. It's very much about freedom. So this can even be making money and magnetizing and relating to money in a way that's totally revolutionary. But in the themes of the 12th house, it still has to be in the realm of like depth, in the realm of the spiritual, and the realm of the empathetic. So that's a very powerful combo. So for you, if you have a placement like this, you might be magnetizing your money or finding your value and your worth when it comes to your finances and your prosperity through the realm of helping others, through the realm of being an activist or civil servant or something in the way of helping large groups of people, but also doing it in a way that brings empathy and deep mystical connection, spiritual connection, or even just deep psychological themes to the forefront. Because the 12th house, like you guys know, I'm super woo. So I love to have I love to always associate the 12th house with anything mystical. That's the same as it's Pisces ruled. But from, let's say, more of a surface level, it also really has to do a ton with our deep psychology and the subconscious mind and how our minds work, that we're not aware of. So that's a very fascinating Venus placement. And I hope that you guys are getting the hint here and just how this flows, because this is pretty cool. And once you look at yours and you do the synthesis based on your placement, both sign and house, you can see how to activate and magnetize when it comes to these placements. And I like to utilize my example because I am a living, breathing embodiment of my chart, and not because I was like, oh, this seems cool, I'll do this, but because it just made so much sense that this would be, it just made the deepest soul sense to me, if that makes sense. That's a lot of sense. No pun intended. Okay, so let's talk about the second house and the sixth house. So these aren't necessarily, I wanted to bring these up for a reason, because sometimes when I talk about the money houses or the purpose house or anything like that, and people don't have planets there, people literally low level flip out. And I'm just like, okay, you guys, it does not mean you, that part of your chart or that part of your life isn't activated. No, I have a saying, I say this in MWMM all the time, no planet, no problem. It's okay. Like, if you don't have a planet in one of these houses that I'm talking about, that's okay. I'm going to show you how to relate to these houses and activate them in a way, even if there isn't a planet there. A planet there, from the esoteric perspective, really just means that there is something for you to activate there. It means that there's emphasis there. It means that this is the way I see it, that your soul really wanted to focus on that this time around. So, if you do not have a planet there, all that means is, yes, it's still alive and active in your life, but for you to activate it and work with it, it may be more just in transits. And it may also be just in the way, like, I have a fun way of teaching this, but basically, let's say with your second house, let's say that Aries cusps or traverses your second house of money. So what that means is to activate the money house, to activate your earning potential, your productivity, your, you know, magnetism is still in there because it's Venus ruled, then you could take a look at the characteristics of Aries, embody those characteristics, and that is what activates your second house. Now, some people get confused when I say cusps and traverse. This is just how I teach this. So cusp means that a sign begins the house. It means that the beginning of the house literally touches into a specific sign. Now, when I say traverses, what I mean by that in essence is that that can be the sign that is traversing the house. And so how that can look is, let's say you have a little sliver of Aries in your second house, and then a massive part of Taurus is mostly your second house. Well, for me, and the way that I teach and the way that I've read for a long time, is that Taurus carries a very strong weight with your second house because it's way more of your second house. Yes, there's some coloring of Aries in there because it cusps, but really the majority of your second house is filled with Taurus. Now, you guys, I just want to say this really quickly because this can be very overwhelming because I'm just explaining this to you verbally, but don't worry. Like, this is all actually very, very simple. And I'm really proud of you for sticking with it, because astrology can totally sound like another language, but the truth is, and maybe you listen to this episode a couple of times, or you go take one of my astrology courses. I have a natal chart 101 course where I go really deep into this stuff. I have the Empowered Astrologer. At some point this year, we'll have our astrology certification available for evergreen purchase. But there's lots of ways to go deeper into this. You can read books. You can go to YouTube. I have some astrology stuff on my YouTube. I have astrology stuff on my Instagram. Just remember that astrology is a language. It is literally like learning French. If you are a native, let's say native English speaker, and then you are learning French or Mandarin, that is not easy. It takes time. So don't worry. So what is the second house? I actually didn't even talk about what the second house is. I think I mentioned it for a second, but the second house represents money. It is the money house. It represents how we make money, how we are productive. It represents where we might be in business, or ways that we make money, ways that we're productive, ways that we magnetize money. The sixth house is the other house I want to talk about when it comes to prosperity placements, because your sixth house is all about your purpose. It's also how you make money through serving. It's how you work with the essence of survival and thriving on a day-to-day basis, both with your health and with the way that you create a livelihood. So the second house is Taurus ruled, so it's definitely more like money, honey, like let's talk money, like it's money activated there. The sixth house is still earth ruled, it's Virgo ruled, but it's a little bit more of a unique octave to Taurus, because it's talking more about service. It's talking more, and not to say the second house isn't, but every single house has like its own theme and assignment, and they all contribute to one another. So with the sixth house is very much like how I serve, how I treat myself and others on a day-to-day basis. And I didn't want to just leave it at the second house, because yeah, making money, earning money, cool, that's important. But the truth is, the most magnificent way to earn and to create your living is through serving other people. And the sixth house also rules health. So what's the point of being wealthy or making money if you're not even healthy enough to enjoy it? So both of these houses are very activating when it comes to prosperity. That's why I wanted to mention both of them. And they're a lot of fun to look at in your chart. So let's visit the sixth house a little bit. So let's say on the sixth house, let me think of my sixth house. My sixth house is cusped by Gemini, and I believe traversed by Cancer. I actually don't remember if that's right, but we'll just go with it for an example. So the cusp means that there is the theme of Gemini, of the communicator, inside of my sixth house of service and livelihood. But then a big part of my sixth house is actually taken up by Cancer. And so Cancer is all about the nurturer. Cancer is the mother archetype. Cancer is the way that we take care of ourselves and others. So for me to activate my purpose, and you guys might be like, whoa, this actually sounds like you. Let me actually take a look. This is actually really funny that I don't remember. I'm almost positive it is, because I remember most of my seventh house is all Cancer. So let's take a quick look. I'm just actually pulling up my chart right now. Yeah. Okay. I was right. I figured that. I was like, so also this sounds a lot like me. So cusp of my sixth house is inside Gemini, the communicator, but the bulk of the sixth house, the sign that traverses, is Cancer. And so how powerful for me to activate my livelihood and my service and the way that I find purpose and health and well-being through being a communicator and a connector, and also being a nurturer and taking care of others emotionally and empathetically, because that's a big part of my work. And it's funny because even though like I have no Cancer in my chart in terms of a planet, but when I look to activate my sixth house, my purpose, my prosperity, and my livelihood through my service and my day-to-day work, both of those archetypes make a ton of sense. So let's use one more example. Let's say that your sixth house begins in, let's say Capricorn cusps your sixth and Aquarius. Actually, hold on. I want to use a different one because I'm doing my best to get as many signs in here as I can. Let's say Libra cusps your sixth and then the dominant sign inside of your sixth is Scorpio. So the archetype of the balancer, the archetype of the lover, because Libra is very much about relationships and connection. That has a lot to do with your sixth house and activating your prosperity and through service and through your day-to-day work. But a big majority of your sixth house is Scorpio. And Scorpio is the archetype of the investigator and the mystic, the occultist, like the one who wants to go deep. So I wonder for you with your sixth house, and you guys, you can see here as I'm talking about this, you can see even if there isn't a planet, you can still activate via the archetype or the dominant characteristic of that sign. And so you'll hear me talk about this a couple of times where it's really looking at the empowering. It doesn't mean we don't look at the shadow. It's important to look at the shadow, but to really activate, to really, really activate these unique prosperity placements in our chart, we can also look at the, I keep saying octave, that's like cool that that's a word that's coming through today, but we can really look at the octave of and the expression of that zodiac sign. And you might want to call it an archetype. I just think that sounds way cooler. Okay, so last thing that we're going to talk about in terms of activating your prosperity placements is the North Node. So when it comes to the North Node is all about your purpose in a lifetime. Your North Node is all about where you are meant to go. So what better thing in terms of activating our prosperity than knowing our deepest soul why, our deepest soul purpose? And so when it comes to the North Node will always oppose the South Node. They're always 180 degrees away from each other. The North Node looks like a horseshoe with like two little balls at the bottom. Sounds kind of funny. But yeah, that's the North Node, the horseshoe with the two little dots at the end, we'll say. And with the North Node, whenever we take a look at the North Node, it will so often be a little bit of an uncomfortable energy for us to embody. My North Node is inside of Aries in the third house, along with my Jupiter, my Mercury, and my Sun. So I have a stellium. I have a four-planet stellium in Aries in the third. So if you guys, and I've deleted everything off the internet, all my old videos, because they were so embarrassing, especially my first ones. Like, you wouldn't even believe how I used to be. I had a lot of wounding coming into this lifetime. I've done a lot of work around that. Did a deep session with Leo. Remember Leo Max, you guys? He's going to be on the podcast soon because I had the craziest, most magnificent session with him. And I got to see a lot of my past lives and it was really powerful. So with that being said, I embodying my Aries in the third house energy and where that North Node is, that was not a given. That was a hard fought process, not easy. And I've really stepped into that embodiment, but it's been through a lot of challenge. And so often what I wanted to do was go back into the comfort of my South Node, of my Libra in the ninth house, which is all about relationships and kind of losing myself in relationship and losing myself in marriage and losing myself in other people's stuff. And also being the lone wanderer. It's kind of funny because a couple years ago, I just decided that I didn't really want to fly much anymore. And in my early years, I loved airplanes. I wanted to go as far away from home as I could. I loved doing it. I wanted to live in Malta. My mom asked me not to, so I didn't. But I always wanted to travel and be far, far away. I loved Europe. That was my thing when I was younger. But it's really interesting because a couple of years ago, I just decided, like, I don't really love flying. I like to just kind of be here and be in my car and do these little fun short distance travels. I love cars. I love driving. I love traveling short distances. And that is the theme of the third to the ninth house. So, and I remember I actually found this article on the Astro Twins website, and it was talking all about a third house north node and a ninth house south node. And it was saying how you may develop a flight fear, or you may not want to travel and you just want to stay close to home. And I was like, there's those nodes at work, because that was never a conscious choice of mine. I actually had a really like scary flight like many, many years ago. And after that, just something changed me, and it was fine. And I was actually fine the whole time, but I was just really triggered. It was crazy. And I never felt that way in my whole life. So very interesting. And that's just giving you a little anecdote, little story around the nodes. So how do we activate the nodes when it comes to our prosperity? Well, your soul is here to do something. Like, your soul doesn't just come here, even if like you judge like your purpose or your why as something unworthy, that's your judgment. Your soul literally comes here to do something. It doesn't have to be like Mother Teresa level, and it doesn't have to be like you do absolutely nothing. But at the same time, when you look at your chart, there is a unique activation and synergy between those two extremes. And the soul comes here to have experiences, but your soul comes here ultimately to grow. And how do we grow best? Well, often we grow best through discomfort. And when you check out your north node and your south node, you will actually witness where you tend to want to stay comfortable, but where you also may have a lot of mastery. That's all your south node. And then your north node will more embody the things that maybe have been really uncomfortable for you to do, but when you do them, you feel alive, you feel activated, and you're just like, oh my God, I'm here, I'm doing it, let's go. And remember, there's no right or wrong thing when it comes to the nodes. There's no right or wrong thing when it comes to these prosperity placements. From the lens of empowerment, every single placement is necessary and needed and worthy. Okay, so your north node in the 10th of your career is just as worthy as if someone's north node is in the 4th in the place of the home and family. So, and just because your node is in the space of home and family doesn't mean you won't have a big career. We just have to remember, these things don't live in a vacuum. I'm presenting you four examples of points and planets that you can look to. But in essence, remember that your chart is a whole story. It's a whole magnificent story of you. And when we want to activate our deepest prosperity, well, being in purpose and living on purpose, and as my beautiful friend Jamal Taylor says, loving on purpose. Well, what's so beautiful about that is when we are working with the nodes and we get to know the nodes, well, that is just a magnificent opportunity to step into our purpose and into our prosperity, because we are activating the deepest why of our soul coming here. And there's a lot of magic, and there's a lot of power, and there's a lot of magnetism, and there's often also a lot of challenge in that. Most things worth having are not always easy. They're not easy to get. And that is okay. That's okay. When we're challenged, it's an invitation. And you've got it. So those are my four prosperity placements for you. I hope this was really fun for you. I had a really fun time sharing my wisdom and my understanding of these. And just to recap, we talked about Jupiter, we talked about Venus, we talked about the second and sixth house, and we talked about the North Node. Now, before we wrap up, I love you guys. I actually have an invitation for you. I am hosting a masterclass on January 18th at 5 p.m. PST. It is called the Money Mastery Masterclass for Business Owners. So I'm going to be taking you through some really powerful tools as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, to master your finances. And I'm also going to be introducing you to my brand new money membership. It's still called MWMM, but I'm going to be just showing you how MWMM can be a magnificent tool for your business and for your next level goals inside of 2022. So if you want to join me, it's completely free. You just have to RSVP through the show notes and you're all set. And that again is going to be on January 18th at 5 p.m. PST. So I cannot wait to see you. If you're able to join me live, we'll also have a replay that'll be up for a couple of days. And you guys, happy fucking new year. I love you. I'm so excited to start the year off with you. I am so excited to grow this podcast with you. I think last year we reached over 750,000 downloads. So that's huge and so exciting. So thank you for your continued support. Please DM me. Let me know how this episode landed. If you have major questions, I'll do my best to answer. You're always welcome to book a prosperity placement report with me. Those are in the link tree in my Instagram. And then I've got all those astrology courses for you if you just want to go deeper and deeper into astrology and really learn astrology in this empowerment lens, like I've shared it here. Okay, I love you guys. Happy 2022. So excited for everything ahead. I will see you soon. Mwah. Bye-bye. If this episode has served you, I ask you to share it, to send it to someone where it could make a big difference and help them heal or create a new perspective in their life. Please tag me with your shares, something you learned from this episode or that you loved from this episode at Natalia_Benson on Instagram. Also, please DM me with questions or feedback or whatever. I love to stay in touch with you. Thank you so much for your support. Consider subscribing to this podcast, leaving me a 5-star review so we can continue to grow together. Thank you so much. I will see you very soon. Mwah. Thank you.